concerns you the most about this team?
Not them, but your team. Doing one thing that stands out?
No, I just, you know, just like every coach, John, it's always, you know, what if this happens? What if that happens? Have you covered enough during the week? Want your team to be fresh, you know, make sure that they're, you know, at peak condition for the game, those types of things, you know, always thinking about the players, you know, what can we do as a staff to continue to help the players even now, between now and the game? Well, we've done a good job, I believe, with the depth there. So we do have some guys there that, you know, if a guy goes down, the next guy needs to step up, and we have confidence that that'll happen. You know, I think where it affects you is on special teams, you know. So hopefully guys that are getting an opportunity to be on the special teams now will go out there and perform well. We think they will. We believe they will. And now they have to go do it. But you know, it's really, like I said a million times, is in this league, you have a 53-man roster, you have a 10-man practice squad. Injuries are going to happen. That's the type of sport it is. It's a tough sport. And so what you have to do is make sure that the next guy's prepared and ready to go.
One of those next guys up looked like Andre Howe, rookie.
Yeah.
How much has he improved, and how ready is he for a bigger role?
Yeah, he's definitely improved. He's gotten better and better as you know, as time has gone on here. He's got a high ceiling, I believe. You know, he's a smart guy. He's a very hardworking guy. He understands the scheme. And probably the main way that he can get better is through experience. You know, he made a great play for us on special teams last week against Buffalo, where he tapped the ball back in on the punt, really did a good job there. And so the more experience he gets on special teams and on defense, that's only going
to
help him. You're talking about Brian Cushing? Yeah, I see the same thing. You know, I think I've been around guys that are coming off of knee injuries and, you know, whether it was Brady or Welker or now Cush, you know, and it takes time. It's not something that you just come back and overnight you're ready to go. It takes time. And I think as time has gone on here, he's become better and better, more comfortable with our system and more comfortable with his own ability to produce and play well in our system. You know, he got a game ball last week. He's playing better. He's, you know, he's like a heart and soul guy for this team. You know, everybody has a ton of respect for Cush, and just I know that he'll continue to get better and better.
How much is Alfred Blue growing in your system as he gets more chances to make it more?
Yeah, it's kind of the same conversation as Dre Howell, you know, that you know, the more experience these guys get, the better they become. And Alfred's no exception to that. He's done a good job on special teams. Had a big block punt for us in the first game. He's definitely contributed there. I think he's run the ball well. You know, running the ball in this league is a whole lot different than running the ball in college. You know, it's a downhill game. If you bounce, you know, so to speak, you're on your own a lot, and so you've got to. Not every play is going to be a home run. And so I think as time has gone on here, he's really understood that and gotten better and better at that.
Darryl Moore is a good example of what you want. He had the big play before he got hurt. He had those big plays the other day. It seems like each week he's gotten better.
He has. He's gotten better, and I think a lot of that has to do with understanding our system. He's got good speed, John. He's got good playing strength, good ball skills. He's a very hard-working guy. Like, he's a guy that's in the film room extra, trying to do extra things to get better. So he is definitely the type of player that you're looking for, you know, on our roster.
John Butler didn't, when you're long enough to have a cup of coffee, he was like in and out the first time. But he seems like he's doing a really good job.
Yeah.
You brought him with you. Talk about him.
Yeah, John's a very bright guy. He's a really, really good staff guy. You know, he really enjoys working with Romeo and Vrabel and Midget and Kolar. That's a good staff of guys right there. Will Lawing does a good job. So John's a good teacher. He's got the ability to boil things down for his players so that his players understand right away when he says a phrase or a word. His players know what he's talking about right away, and I think that's a mark of a good coach, somebody that can keep it short and sweet and to the point on the field, and the guys know what he wants. He's a good teacher, good communicator. Right.
Can you kind of talk about that and the changes you have to make?
Yeah. You know, it's really based on when you look at the opponent that you're playing. So when you look at Buffalo's offense, Dallas's offense, what are the main personnel groups that they use? So in the Buffalo game, we felt like the main personnel group that they were going to use was going to be 21, which is two backs, a tight end, and two receivers. And so that dictated – that game week dictated, okay, we're probably going to be in a little bit more base defense. And then if they end up going 11 personnel, which is three receivers, a tight end, and a back, maybe we'll be in a little bit more nickel on first and second down. And so when we look at Dallas, and they use a lot of different personnel groupings. They're in 11, they're in 12, they're in 13, you know, with sometimes with three tight ends out there. They're in 20 personnel. You know, sometimes they maybe give Witten a rest and take the tight end out and have two backs and three receivers in there. So we've got to understand how that changes relative to us. Should we be in more base? Should we be in more nickel? Should we be in something that's in between? And so that's kind of how we try to look at it every week. And then, you know, when injuries occur, you've got to be ready to have that same game plan, maybe with a different personnel group. That's the so-called chess match every week in this league is, you know, okay, we're ready to go with 12 personnel offensively, let's say, for us. And then all of a sudden one guy goes down. All right, well, this extra tight end better know what that receiver was doing in that personnel grouping, because that gives us the best chance to continue to move the ball even though we lost this guy. That's a long-winded answer, but it takes a lot to figure it all out. They're big. They're physical guys. You know, especially Dez. You know, Dez is a big guy. He's got really strong hands. He's a good route runner. And our guys need to understand how to play him. You know, I'm not going to kind of tell you what that means. I just think it's important to know, okay, here's how he runs certain routes. Here's what he's doing in certain formations. And our guys need to really understand, and that allows them to, okay, yeah, maybe there's a size disadvantage there, but at the same time, we can make up for that by knowing what he's going to do on certain things.
Why
so.
Do you think receivers keep getting taller than corners?
Well, I think it depends. You know, when I was in New England, we had Randy Moss, obviously 6'4", just a phenomenal athlete and a great receiver. But then we also had Wes Welker and Julian Edelman. Here, you know, we have Andre, who's a big guy, physical guy, good route runner. DeAndre's a bigger guy, physical guy. And then we have, like, Keyshawn, and obviously DJ's not quite as big. I think the key is to have a good mix of sizes there. And I think when you look at the corners in this league, the best corners to me, regardless of how tall they are the ones that have good playing strength, good quickness, good ball skills, and are instinctive. Regardless of how tall they are, those are the ones that usually end up giving you the toughest time.